This is Nursing in America. Each week we speak with incredible nurses who have taken the leap to start a new life in the United States. If you're thinking about doing the same, then this is the place you'll find all the insider knowledge and inspirational success stories to realize your own American dream. This is the second part of a two-part episode, so make sure you go back and listen to part one first.
Hugo, Danny was talking about the process of getting pre-approved and before they can put an offer down on the home. Explain to us how this pre-approval process works, what you recommend, perhaps some documents that are needed. Fill us in.
Great. First of all, Danny touched bases really, really well and how important it is to get approved or pre-approved before you go out there and shopping. And one of the things I've seen people get their heart broken before for that specific reason, because they don't think that they just think that they're going to start looking for homes and they find a home that they really, really like. And I think they're not approved. And sometimes the speed, and then they find out things along the process that they were missing. So something that's very, very important is, one is you do want to have your docs in order. And this is how we start. The first thing, it starts with an application. You want to put an application file. That way we can pull your credit. We can see the credit and we can see in details. And a lot of times there's surprises there that buyers have no idea what is in their credit. You know, sometimes they think they have great credit and next thing they forgot about turning or paying a credit card or something. And next thing they have a collection that they didn't even know they had there. So it's really, really important to have the initial scope and visualization of what's in the credit report. Then after you have the credit report, you got to show income. So income is a very, very important variable, because from there, they're going to be able to determine what is called your debt-to-income ratio. Okay, debt-to-income ratio is just a very simple formula. And in this case, you know, people coming, you know, as nurses, they're going to have likely a salary income. So salary income is, you're going to have your total amount of debt, monthly debt obligations, divided by your total monthly income. That's how you calculate your ratios. And usually those ratios, you want to keep them below the 50% threshold. I mean, there's different programs, like government programs like FHA and some of them VA, but we're not going to touch much in details. FHA, yes, you could go sometimes higher, and that will be, you know, depend on the lender. But just to keep it very, very simple, I'm just going to touch base in conventional loans. And conventional loans, they'll give you up to, you know, anywhere 48 to 50%. And this is going to be what is called desktop underwriter. It's going to determine the initial potential approval. So likely you want to come as eligible. And so for your income, in this case, you will need 30-day pay stubs. And you will need a form that's called W-2. So W-2 is for the last 2 years. So you want to have 2-year work history to be able to show your income. Also, not always is the case, but the lender might request your tax returns. So having 2 years of tax returns, or sometimes one. So again, this is going to be determined case by case once the application is submitted and the credit is actually pulled. Now, so that will be the initial part. So it'll be your income. So income will be 30-day pay stubs, sometimes last pay stub of the previous years, if you receive bonus income or commissions or anything along those, along the line when it's not always consistent with your salary. And then once you have your income documents, you want to provide what is called assets. Assets is money in the bank, okay? There's a lot of other programs. There's programs out there that they can actually help you with your down payment and your closing costs. But in this case, your assets, you want to show 60 days or 2 months of bank statements, okay? These bank statements could be also your retirement assets. And retirement assets could be determined a 401k, IRA. Those are different investment vehicles that likely your employer will provide in many cases. So you want to show that you have money in the bank that you'll be able to put for your down payment and your closing costs. Also for potential obligations and potential reserves as well. So again, this will be determined and it will be case by case once you submit your application. Also, each state is you know, they have different requirements, depends of, you know, the loan limits that you're purchasing. And in the conventional, you know, it could be to not reserve to sometimes they require for 2 months reserve. So I'll give a quick example on this. Is let's say that your monthly payment is $3,000, and this includes what is called principal, the interest, taxes, and insurance. So if you have $3,000 and they're asking you to have 2 months reserves, in this case, we'd like to see, you know, the bank would like to see after paying your closing costs, your down payment, you have $6,000 in the bank to be able to cover that requirement. So these are the initial documentation that is required. And then the lender, as once the application is submitted, they will start digging the underwriter, that's the one that ultimately will make the decision whether this person can be approved or not, will send a list of updated documentation that's needed in order to do the pre-approval. If this pre-approval is what is called underwritten approval, which is exactly what you want. You want to have an approval letter. There's other options that you can get a prequel letter, and a prequel letter is going to be based in 100% the information that you submitted into the application in contrast with your credit report. So depends of, you know, you can get what is called that prequel or a DU letter. You know, sometimes that can help you to get into the door when you put an offer, but ideally you do want to get approved. And the reason, again, is because when you go out there, you want to be ready. You might find this home that you have no idea you're going to find. The next thing you fall in love with it, you're like, I really want to put an offer as soon as possible. So, yeah, so that's very, very important.
You were talking about, you know, having money to put down as a down payment. Lena, how did you and your family save for this down payment? You've obviously thought about this ahead of time.
Right. So we were not knowing actually about these credit scores and all, because that was a new term, whosoever is migrating from other places like Middle East. We were in Middle East. So we opened the bank accounts and we got the credit cards, and our friends told that now you have to add up the credit points. So we said, what is that credit points? So they said, yeah, you have to pay the dues in time, whatever you are purchasing for, and thus you will be adding up your credit points. So, yeah, so like that, we added up the credit points. And after 1 year, I think they said that it should be like around 700 or 720 above. That is considered as a good credit point. So we started looking each month at how much is our credit points. So then somebody told us, no, you should not see each month, because if you see each month, then the credit points will go down. I said, these all things are new for us. Anyway, I think it was about 700, the credit points. And then we started, like every month we will, for our down payment, we saved some money. And like that, after 1 year, we started looking for a house. Although we couldn't afford, because it was told us that 20% we have to put as down payment. But later on, we came to know that it's not necessary that we have to put 20%. We can put 5% and also we can own the home. Like, although if we are not putting 20%, there is some insurance, like mortgage insurance, we have to pay additional. But with 5% also, we can go forward for owning the home. So like that, we did it. And by depositing 5%, we went forward for buying the home. That's how we acquired. Yeah, that's our story.
Yeah, that's so exciting. That is the American dream right there. I want to go to Judy now. When you put the offer down on your home, what was that like for you?
It's quite funny, Lizzie, because when we went to the bank to get a pre-approved, I just realized that I didn't have any credit score. It's only my husband, because I'm only just the extension of his credit card. So this is the only time I realized, oh, I really need to build my credit as well. Even we're a couple. Then when we got our pre-approval, because there's a certain amount the bank can give you. I mean, the loan officer will give you. So that's the start when we look for a house within that budget, within that amount. And the feeling is mixed. Like, you're nervous, you're excited, excited to see different houses. But then when it comes to the down payment and the closing fee, just like what Lena said, we prepared for it. We see to it that we have enough, fund in our bank to pay the down payment. And as she said earlier, you don't have to have 20% of down payment, because I was thinking if we're gonna, save 20% of that amount, it took us a lot of years and it's impossible for us to get a house as early as now. So we only got a 3.5% down payment, and we also pay for our closing fee. So we situated that we have enough budget for that. And when we close our house, it's like all those sleepless nights looking for and searching for a house is over. We finally get the perfect place for us. And also another thing is that try to talk to people who also been through to that experience. I mean, we visited a lot of Filipino families here who also bought their house 3 years ago, 5 years ago, and we got a very good advice from them. You gotta get wisdom from these people. So I'm very thankful as well for their advices, for the information they have given us. And also, we're very lucky to have a very nice realtor that we met through the process. And he helped us a lot to get our first home here in the U.S.
The realtors, the mortgage lenders, the family support, the community support,
yes,
all of it goes into buying a home. I want to get back to Danny here.
Yeah, we've met, we've gotten pre-approved, we've spoken to someone like Hugo to give us the price range, like Lena and Judy spoke about, and we've gone to search for homes. And now we found a home we love, we're going to make an offer. Now, the contract of making an offer, it's called purchase agreement, is it spells out the whole process in terms of what needs to happen in the time that you're from when you made the offer to when you close. That time period is called escrow. Now, escrow is, there's an escrow company that is a third-party company that makes sure the seller and the buyer are both accomplishing what needs to be accomplished throughout this process. So they're third party. Now what happens is once we get an offer accepted, which is awesome, we have 3 days to put in a deposit. A deposit is a small amount, a percent, you know, very small percentage of the overall price that is just held in escrow to hold the home for you until you close. That money goes towards your down payment, the 3.5% or 5% that Judy and Lena were speaking about, and it's held there. Now, the thing is, we have three what are called contingencies in this process. Those are protections for you as the buyer to make sure the home is right. So the first one is called an inspection contingency. During that time period, which can be anywhere from a week to 2 weeks, 17 days, for us to do any kind of inspection we would like about the home. Typically, you get a general inspector that will look top to bottom, everything about the home. Will some of the most important parts are, is the roof good? Is the foundation of the house good? And is the electrical and plumbing system good? That way you get to make sure everything is as it should be in that process. Now, once we have that information, we can either say, okay, it's great, let's move forward. Or we can say there are some issues that we would like the seller to fix before we close on that loan. Now, at that point, it could be another negotiation or they might give you some money towards the purchase so that you can make those repairs once the home is yours. So that's the first thing. So once we clear that, you know, hurdle or step, the next part would be actually do the appraisal. So the bank, as Hugo said, the bank wants to make sure the home is worth what you're paying for it. Because if the home is worth less than that, that is their collateral, their what they have at stake if the loan is not paid for, right? So they want to make sure the home is worth what you're paying for it, and it's a protection for you to make sure you're not overpaying for the loan. So once the appraisal is in and they say, yes, the home is worth that much, we get to the last step, which is the point where the loan actually gets fully approved and sent in. At that point, we release all our contingencies protections because we're confident that we're moving forward to close the home. And that's the fun part. You start ordering, I don't know, furniture, whatever you want, registering for schools and anything else that will happen in that area. But then at that point, 5 days before we close, if there were supposed to be any repairs, you get to make sure that that was all completed. And then a few days later, I'll show up with your keys and help you with anything else you need moving in and going forward. Now, I wanted to make sure that we talked about something. Lena and Judy both talking about the process of buying that home. Here's the thing. The first home you buy is the hardest because you need to save up that money and build up your credit. However, in the future, you will be able to use the home that you originally bought and the money that you built up in that home to buy usually a bigger, nicer home in the future, because the first one is the hardest. You need to save up that money in your bank. But as you pay your monthly payments for your home, that money builds up in what's called the equity of your home, right? And you get to now use that money. You don't have to save it up in the bank every month. You're already paying it into your bank, your home.
That's an amazing piece of advice, and it's really interesting how the whole process works.
We'll be back with the conversation in just a second. There's a wonderful opportunity for you. Kinetics USA is currently recruiting registered nurses from all over the world to work in healthcare facilities here in the USA. If you are interested, please apply at kineticsusa.com/application. That's kineticsusa.com/application. On with the show.
I'll say that my family is Brazilian, and in Brazil, we love to negotiate. It's like the thing. And I know that that's something all over the world that everybody likes to go back and forth, even in the market, to try to negotiate pricing. Hugo, do you see that a lot from your end, from the lender's perspective of, you know, what that's like when everybody's going back and forth?
Yeah, no, and that's a great observation and question as well. Yes, we do see a lot of times, you know, and this is a recommendation. We always recommend people to get approved for a higher amount of, you know, to get approved for the highest amount they would consider even going. Especially, you know, the reason I'm going to explain is, and we're not seeing it as much anymore because the market has significantly shifted from what it was a year to 2 years ago, even 8 months ago, where it seems that the market was considered more into like a seller's market, where the sellers, there were more people buying homes than actually selling homes. So then that created a really, really big demand for people out there. And that pushed prices significantly higher in a lot of places. So what would happen is in doing the negotiation, you know, a home might have 3, 4, 5 different offers, and the seller agents will, you know, and the seller will counter and be saying like something like, hey, you know, best offer out there, you know, submit your best offer. And this is not necessarily submit with the highest value that you're considering buying the home, but obviously that helps. There's other conditions, as Danny mentioned, what you call consider contingencies. And contingencies are your, you know, your lines of defense if you want to pull out of the transaction. So there's the appraisal contingency, which is whether the value of the property hit, and, you know, and in this case, if you're satisfied after you get the report from the property. And the other one is the loan contingency. There's also inspection contingency. But here, shortening the timelines or those contingencies, or sometimes even remove it, which I can't tell you whether it's a good thing or it's a bad thing. This is some of that conversation that, you know, anybody potentially looking to purchase a home should have with their realtor. In this case, somebody like Danny, that should be able to advise a lot better whether, you know, whether the conditions of the property are as good as they would like to be, and other variables as, like, you know, if they really, really want the home and they have all the ducks in a row, it might make sense. But, you know, by removing these contingencies, that gives the seller a much more sense of trust that this transaction and the buyer really, really wants this home. So in that case, that could actually look better than somebody that raises their purchase price, their offer, because in this case, it seems like it's going to be a more secure transaction. It'll have a lot easier times to close, which sometimes closing time, traditionally here in the U.S. is mostly 30 to 45 days. That's mostly an average, but somebody that shortens down the transaction, then that could also offer much more strength in that specific offer. So when you're talking about negotiation, that comes into play. So yes, there's a lot of times where negotiation is very, very important, and having a strategy is absolutely a must. And that's something that, you know, Danny can also talk more about, about the type of how the offer can look stronger on the, you know, when negotiating in the portion of, putting an offer. So, yeah.
Those 30 to 45 days there seem like that's probably maybe the most fun part. There's, you guys were talking about all these check boxes that need to happen before the family can actually close on the house. You talked about the inspection. I will say that that is such an important piece, because if you find something wrong, then the owner of the home will pay to have it fixed, depending on what it is. And that's a very, very important piece to that puzzle to make sure that you're getting the best value. Lena, what was your experience like during that escrow period, during those 30 days, 45 days?
Frankly speaking, like, those days were like days of tension, worry, stress, and all, because this is the first time for you. You are in a new place where most of the terms are new for you. Like what you said, escrow, the assessment, the inspection. You know, as a nurse, I know how to assess a patient, but what is this assessment of a house? What is that? We never come across those things in our sense. Like, I used to ask my husband, what do you mean by this? He's also like, he said, I also don't know. I am also like you in this place. So for everything, we used to approach our realtors, our friends, our community members, and they used to explain us. So every time when we used to call them, we used to say, I'm sorry, I have one more doubt. Like, what is this? So, yeah. So things with some of the terms we had to know about before, I think, buying a house. Like, these are the terms which are new for us, and we should come across, like, we should know about these things, like, what is escrow, what is inspection, what is assessment, and how to improve our credit scores. These are very important before you buy a home. Like, we should know about these things. So when our court was accepted, we gave the next thing was about the loan, whether the loan will be like approved or not. So our realtor gave us a few choices for the loan company. And I think for the insurance also, they have few choices. So when the loan was approved, then was thankfully, yeah, it was approved. It was approved, I can say, because there are instances for some people where the loan itself is not approved, and they have to, you know, they have to leave the plan in between. So after that, the thing was for the insurance. So what all insurances we have to take, because as we have the down payment, we have put only 5%. So the insurance is like they say about mortgage insurance also we have to take. We were not knowing about these things. So mortgage insurance and top of that mortgage insurance. Okay. And after that, the escrow. So escrow is something like a deal which is managed, like the property taxes, the insurance premiums and all for, it's a legal agreement it seems. Before buying a home itself, we have to know that there are some additional costs also, which are included, like the taxes. In some community, the community development prices like CDD, then the HOA, then the utilities, the electricity bill. Those things also we have to consider while buying a house. So it's not the only the mortgage, mortgage payment we have to do, but also these additional costs also we have to keep in mind. So we have to invest some money. I mean, we have to keep apart some money for these things also before, starting our program, like before we start planning the how. So these all things, actually, these are new, as Danny said, about for a person who buys a home initially, these all things are new. It's a stress for that person, not only for that person, the whole family. It's a stressful period on that 30 to 45 days. But yeah, thankfully, by God's grace, we come across that period. And now when we see that we are the home owners of this beautiful house, we thank God. And for all those who supported us for this, like gave us advices and their guidance, really that makes a difference, you know.
It's like you said, Lena, it can be a stressful time. Be filled with emotions. You're happy, you're nervous, you don't know what to expect. But then that day comes when your realtor, like Danny said, shows up at your door and has the key to the house. And hey, this is yours. Judy, what did that feel like?
Oh, we're so happy. I mean, it's a fulfillment for the whole family. I mean, we first got our home way in the Philippines, but here in the U.S., to have a house in the U.S., I felt like we started our American dream, and that is what we wanted, to have a roof over our head. I mean, and you know, the good thing about getting a home, comparing to renting an apartment, we only add 100 every month from our apartment payment to our mortgage payment. So compared to our apartment and to our mortgage, I only added like $100 to $200 a month. Can you imagine? And apartment, you cannot, it will not become yours. I mean, compared to a house, it's a kind of fulfillment for the whole family. So we never regret to buy a home.
A lot of people will see that having an apartment is just going like this with your money whenever you can, you know, save up, get the credit, and then actually buy a home. And now you're paying towards something for yourself and gaining that equity. Like Danny and Hugo were talking about that equity, meaning that the value of your home, the price of your home goes up. What you can sell your home for in the future also increases. I want to get just a few last words from everybody here. Danny, if you could give one piece of advice to any immigrant family who here in the United States, looking for their American dream, looking for a home, what piece of advice can you give them?
I'll give them a couple pieces of advice. Make sure you speak to someone who will explain the whole process in detail, so that way you don't have the anxiety. Also, relax, take your time. Don't feel under pressure to do it before you're ready. However, as Judy said, every month you're always paying someone's mortgage. The question is, are you paying the mortgage of your landlord who you're paying rent to, or are you paying your own? So the sooner you can do it comfortably, you should, but take your time. Don't feel pressured. Make sure you know what's going into it, you've done your research, and you have someone really good advising you through the process.
Thank you, Danny. What about you, Hugo? Last advice to any immigrant family looking for a home here.
Okay, yeah. And as Danny mentioned, you want to be calm, okay? Be calm. Speak with professionals, okay? Each state is different as well. So it's really, really important that you speak with, you know, in this case, mortgage professionals and realtor professionals, that they can actually explain the, you know, the different ways of how the process will go in your state. So that's important. Also, there's a lot of tax benefits that we didn't really touch bases. I'm not a tax professional myself, but there's also a lot of benefits that you can look into that could benefit you when you purchase a home. So as Danny said, is that are you paying somebody else's mortgage, or are you going to be paying your own mortgage and you're going to be able to build your own equity? So those are a couple things. The other thing too is, and a lot of people, the moment they realize that they have credit and they can buy things, if you're really considering buying a home, try to minimize those purchases, at least until you purchase your home. Okay, and the reason why is because, you know, if you buy a car before you buy a home, that can significantly deplete you for the potential to be able to qualify for the purchase price that you're trying to go for. So sometimes waiting on that really nice car that you want to buy, it's more important to just wait until after you actually purchase your home. Okay, so that's something very, very important to remember. The other thing too is keep your credit intact. Like, monitor your credit very, very often. Make sure that there's no accounts lingering around, because that's really, it's something that they're going to be looking at. And sometimes it takes years to potentially even fix your credit. So that's really, really important. The other thing too is saving money. You don't need a tons of money. There's even programs right now into up to even loan amounts of $726,200 that you can come up with 3% down. Okay, 3% down. And yeah, a lot of people don't really know that. But with very, very little money, you could actually buy a home. And also, there's all their state programs and also federal programs that can potentially help you with a down payment and the closing cost, which ideally, I want to say a closing cost, you know, anywhere between 1% to 2% of the loan amount is kind of like a way to estimate. But those are numbers that they're important for people to try to look and save some money. And other than that, have fun, really have fun, because this is the only time that you'll be able to actually go out there and buy the home of your dreams. So with that say, thank you for having me here, and good luck out there, everybody.
Have fun. Absolutely. Lena, really quick, what is your final piece of advice to anybody looking for a home?
Yeah. As earlier I said, like, before buying a home, we should know certain things. Certain things like, we should keep some money. That's for sure. And we should know the additional cost also. The cost of the taxes which we have to pay, additional, the monthly cost of the mortgage plus the additional cost. Those things we have to keep in mind. And next thing, what the advice which I want to give is, you have some needs. So put forward the needs to your realtor, like, what if for me, like, the priority was our children were like in the high school. So should be a good school. We focus more on a good graded school. Then the commute from house to hospital, the distance, then the proximity to the necessities like what we for the grocery, the supermarket and all. So those few things we have to keep in mind while buying a good home. Like, the community should be, we should check the community before that, and then we should keep the money. We should take care of the additional cost, and if we if we are prepared for all these things, then I think it's not a big deal. Though for the first time, it is stressful. I won't say that it's not stressful. It is stressful, but you can go through it if you are prepared beforehand. That's the only thing.
It's stressful and happy and such an amazing.
And house is yours, of course. Yeah, you will be happy. You will thank God.
You just dance in an empty living room. It's up to you. Tear down a wall. It doesn't matter. It's yours. Judy, what is your final piece of advice?
Yeah, my advice is, first, look for a place that is very accessible to everything. And also, if you can find a home, of course, it's very necessary to find a place which is very safe for the family. And also within your budget, buying a home shouldn't be a financial burden. You have to find a home that you can pay without breaking your bank, you know? So that's my piece of advice. And for sure, once you have your home, you will feel more confident to build your finances here in the U.S. and starting your equity as they are, as Danny and as they talking about. So it's really a rewarding part of your journey here in the U.S.
Thank you. And such a rewarding part of my week, my month, my year is being able to speak with all of you about this wonderful topic. We are so thankful and happy that the four of you were able to join us today. Thank you so much for your time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
If you enjoyed the episode, go ahead and hit the follow button on your podcast player and leave us a review. Kinetics USA is currently recruiting registered nurses from all over the world to work here in the USA. We offer direct hire, meaning you will be sponsored and hired directly by American healthcare facilities. If you're interested, please apply at kineticsusa.com/application. That's kineticsusa.com/application. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for more incredible conversations.